Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our worship here at Faith. It's good to have you all with us this morning. A beautiful morning as we get ourselves into the month of May now. And as soon as we're done with our message this morning, all of you that are going to be serving as officers, new returning for the 15th time, whatever the case might be, we're just going to take a moment to install our officers this morning on behalf of our congregation here for the upcoming months. We also want to make certain that we remember for God's people that as we continue, we're going to continue through this month here for 8 o'clock church through Memorial Day weekend. As soon as we get into June, we're going to be going to one service at 10 o'clock. Now, that's just for the Sunday schedule. The Saturday schedule will remain the same. Obviously, our Faith Factor folks, they take the summer off. So the 5 o'clock service on Saturday night will take the form a lot of what we're going to be doing here at 8 o'clock. And I want to kind of start planting that seed now that if a person is looking for some alternative times, yes, we're going to 10 on Sunday morning, but we also will have the 5 o'clock service. And through the summer, that's going to be, by and large, a traditional service like what we're doing right now. That'll be here just in a month's time. And we'll be doing that this year, just because of the way the calendar falls and some other things. We're going to be doing it through the month of September. So June, July, August, and September will be that way. But our Wednesday worship, our crosswalks worship, a very informal service, especially for people that haven't been to church for a long time. That also continues, and it'll continue through the summer. Wednesday nights at 6:30. As we go along, I received one notice. Actually, I've got there will be a couple of notices that we're going to be praying for here in the weeks to come of people that are going to be graduating, high schools, colleges, and stuff like that. A couple of people have been good to get that information to us, and when we get to that particular week of graduation, we'll include those in our prayers. But make sure that if you've got information like that, that you get that to us. We're still looking for a coordinator for Vacation Bible School. Now that we've gotten into May, there's a certain urgency to it. I mean, it's not like it has to be an emergency. Last year we did it in August. It was a one-day thing that we did out at Sims Park. And so it can take as many forms as it needs to, but we do need to have somebody who's going to be giving that just some prayerful consideration. So, and then I've just got one thing here that... because of some, just the time it's going to take, the effort it's going to take to make it happen, there was a rummage sale that we originally had scheduled for May the 19th. We're going to push that back just a little ways to give a little bit more time to make the proper preparations for that. But we're going to also plant that seed now that we are going to be having. The way we typically look at a rummage sale, this is probably more like a consignment sale where you're going to be, the people will be bringing things in, consigning them to the church so that the church can, the church will be the ones that will be putting it on tables and so forth. The church will benefit from the proceeds and so forth. So we'll, that will be, and since they're going to, right now they're planning on having it in the CLC, we'll just see what that new date is going to be. But they wanted to get that seed planted now that the rummage sale will not be happening on the 19th of May, but it will happen just a little bit later on into the summer. Announcements, that's all I have. Make sure that you fill out both members and guests, our Faith Fellowship cards, and they're actually in front of you, and let us know that you were here for this morning. So as you are able, please stand. So we begin by calling to mind our baptisms in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. And now I ask you before God, who searches the heart, do you sincerely confess that you have sinned against God by what you have done and by what you have left undone and deserve his wrath and punishment? If so, then declare by saying, I do confess. Indeed, we should confess, for Holy Scripture declares, If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Do you heartily repent of all your sins committed in thought, word, and deed? If so, then declare by saying, I do repent.
I do repent.
Indeed, we should repent, as did the penitent sinners, King David, who prayed for a contrite heart, Peter, who wept bitterly, the sinful woman at the feet of Jesus, the prodigal son, and others. Do you sincerely believe that God, by grace for Jesus' sake, will forgive you all your sins? If so, then declare by saying, I do believe.
I do believe.
Indeed, we should believe, for Holy Scripture declares, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Do you promise that with the aid of the Holy Spirit, you will, from this time forward, take up the battle against sin in your life and live that forgiven life in the light of Christ? If so, then declare by saying, I do promise.
I do promise.
Friends, as you confess, repent, believe, and promise, so let it be unto you. It is my privilege and joy to announce to you that Jesus has taken away your burdens by his death and resurrection. According to his own command, I, as a servant of the word and called as pastor and servant of the word, declare that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray this prayer together. O God, the giver of all that is good, by your holy inspiration, grant that we may think those things that are right, and by your merciful guiding, accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Today's readings from Holy Scripture are for the sixth Sunday of Easter. Our first lesson is found in the book of Acts, chapter 10. Peter preaches the gospel of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is poured out on Gentile hearers. St. Luke writes, "So Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Truly I understand that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.' While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, 'Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?' And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson is in 1 John chapter 5. We are born of God and overcome the world through faith in Jesus. The apostle writes, Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. Long ago, at many times and in various ways, God spoke to the forefathers by the prophets.
The Holy Gospel, the good news being read in Christian churches throughout the world, according to St. John, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. This is the gospel of our Lord."
Praise to you, Lord.
Now we share a portion of Martin Luther's Small Catechism, the 4th, 5th, and 6th commandments. What is the 4th commandment?
Honor your father and your mother.
What does this mean?
We should fear and love God so that we do not despise or anger our parents and other authorities, but honor them, serve them, obey them, love and cherish them.
What is the 5th commandment?
You shall not murder.
What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not hurt or harm our neighbor in his body, but help and support him in every physical need. What is the 6th commandment?
You shall not commit adultery.
What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we lead a sexually pure and decent life in what we say and do, and husband and wife love and honor each other. You may be seated. Friends, God's grace, mercy, and peace to you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My text from our gospel lesson this morning, where Jesus said to us, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide." Dear friends, if there is a truly nervous moment in the life of almost every one of us, it would have to be during that time when we are facing something like, perhaps a job interview, and maybe or maybe not, the interview itself makes us nervous. But the prospect of whether we will get to be the one chosen versus however many other applicants makes us extremely nervous. Or perhaps, if you have ever, whether it's auditioning for a part, whether it's for a play, for something that's in a movie, and you want to give it your best, but you have no idea. Because especially if you're in doing this movie thing like out in Hollywood or something like that, your career direction could be decided by whether you get a particular part or not. Whatever it is, it's a matter of somehow a choosing taking place that we hope includes us, but that is completely out of our control. We hopefully could know, based on, like, for example, if it's a job interview, we hopefully can know whether we seem to be a bit of a match for it, whether it's something we think we can do, but we really can't know what the people that make those decisions are thinking. Are they really interested in you? Well, I suppose it would be far easier to ask the same question about every one of you here regarding our Lord and God. I mean, me? You? What do we have to offer our Lord? But more to the point, since we're here, since we've gathered together as his people, it is clear he has chosen you. He has selected you. And has not only selected you to be his child, but has chosen you for the joys of life everlasting. Little old me, why me? What is it that would make him choose someone like me? You know, you look out in the world, and you will see so many accomplished people. People that, the way they work, the way they think, some of them you feel like could accomplish more amazing things that are going to help people in a day than we could do in a month. Or people that somehow have been adding on to things like hospitals, setting up benevolent funds that are going to somehow be out there to help people travel around the world, but know or care nothing about Jesus Christ. And yet, here is Christ who has chosen you. And that's a remarkable thing, but let's be honest. When it comes time for a matter of choosing, who do we want? How do we want the process of choosing to take place? And I'm going to use kind of a parallel here with some food. Let's say, for example, that if we want to leave the whole business of choosing to someone else, and let's be honest, in most cases, it is someone else that will do the choosing. But if you want to go to a certain place, now, let's use the example of a hamburger, a basic hamburger. I can't even count how many places have got something like that there for you. Even though in some ways a hamburger is a hamburger, they're going to taste a little different for some reason at every place that you go to. But they get to choose just how it's going to look. They get to choose the size and the shape of the meat and how much is going to be in there, and the way that, at least in a, I'll use the term, in a default mode, they're going to top the sandwich. They get to choose that. And it got to be quite a thing when there was a commercial years and years ago that started the whole trend that's called "Have It Your Way." Because let's face it, we are a people who like to choose. Let's then move to what happens when we choose. Well, Let's go to a place like Golden Corral. I think of at least a few of you have been there for that. And it seems like every time I'm in a Golden Corral, what the lines of things that you can choose gets more and bigger all the time. And what a great and wonderful thing. Because if there's some of these things on the line that you don't like, terrific. You just walk past it and get something else. What a wonderful thing that is, to be able to skip all the things we don't like. And yet they did a little kind of a survey. They went into some of these places and found out, okay, people genuinely get to choose everything that goes on their plate. Are they making good choices? You know, is there a good balance of the types of things that we talk about, you know, with the vegetables and all the kinds of things? And in almost every case, the answer is no. When the choice was somehow left to us, we didn't always make the good choice. And okay, that's interesting, because we're not going to spend our lives living in a Golden Corral. It's definitely a special location extra. But we do find ourselves living in the kingdom of God. And if we live in the kingdom of God, do we want to be the people that are going to be left to make the choices? Perhaps not. When we look at who we are, when we look at somehow the things that we are going to accomplish and fail to accomplish, no, we even have to wonder, what in the world would God want with me? But he does. And he is interested not only to call you as his child, but also to appoint you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. Somehow, in the midst of the things that God has blessed you with, he has prepared you so that, yes, you can do some of the amazing things. Oh, maybe not some of the things that make the headlines. Maybe not some of the things that are out there that the rest of the world says are amazing accomplishments. But they're things that matter. Because it starts on the foundation of faith. The faith that the Holy Spirit has placed into your hearts in the waters of holy baptism. That's what the choice is all about. Now, there's some confusion about the words that Jesus gave here. I was reading an article earlier this week, where preparing for this message, where this one person was saying, well, surely he wasn't being literal when he said, you did not choose me, because the disciples chose Jesus. No, they didn't. Maybe a couple of you thought that you were the ones that chose Jesus. No. Lo and behold, you look into your life, and whether your life has been patterned where, you know, you've been in church, you have been growing in the Lord through your life, or you went long periods of time and you didn't. Somehow, when you look at when Jesus mattered to you, you're going to find out that the Holy Spirit was there all along. That Jesus was actually saying, oh, welcome aboard. What took you so long? But now that you're here, let's get to work. We have things to do. And let's face it, we do have things to do. And nothing gets in the way of the things that need to be done in the kingdom of God more than thinking that life is somehow about us. Even as followers of Christ, we can be guilty of thinking we need to do more. We need to get better at something. We need to improve in this area. We need to follow Jesus better. But it's not about what we need to do. It's about what's already been done. As Jesus has appointed us to bear fruit, It's not fruit for us or for our endeavors, but rather it's fruit that he is being intentional about to expand his kingdom, to bring him glory and to benefit the people he has placed in our lives. And we get the privilege of being along for the ride, used by him in all of these things. You know, that's what the good news is all about. Christ has freed us from the bondage of sin and the things that constantly want to get in our way. The lures and desires of this world, the false promises of things in this life, the people that will pretend like they are important and will be there for you. And maybe they are until the time comes that you really need them. But with Jesus, he is always there for us, always to the very end of the age. And let's be clear, he didn't make a mistake when he chose you. When I was younger, and I mentioned to you before that, you know, the benefit of having a twin brother is that you're chosen to be the captains, where you're the one that gets to choose the other people. And at this moment, before I even finish the story, let's take a look at choosing. Those of you that are going to be serving as officers, right now just raise your hand. Well, high enough so that our people can see who these people are going to be. There are not a lot here, but those of you that are here this morning are, you have been chosen by the people of this congregation. Now, the process of that choice might be a little different than it is in some other congregations, but still, you've been chosen. And it's kind of like being chosen for a team. Now, my brother and I, we've actually have talked about when we were, you know, captains and dividing up the people that we had available for us for teams. We remember two things. First of all, even though, you know, you would think that, okay, sometimes I get to choose first and sometimes he gets to choose first, we rarely, if ever, tried to do it on the honor system where it's like, well, I think you chose first last time, I get to do it this time. No, we always left it to a coin flip or something else like that. And both his recollection and mine were that I got to choose first a lot more than he did, which you would think would be a wonderful thing to have happen. That said, whatever it was we were choosing up sides for, it was also his recollection and mine that even though I'm the one that always got to choose first, you know, I would get to choose the better of maybe two people first, and then he would choose somebody, and then I got to choose the better of two people. You would think that my teams would be winning most of whatever it was, but it was both his recollection and mine that his teams usually won. Now, that's probably the way that some of us feel. Are we really? I mean, we feel like sometimes we're the wretched refuge. Are we really on a winning team? But God has made sure that the victory has been won for each and every one of us. And that as we get to serve him, we get to serve him knowing that that victory has already been won. That since he has chosen us, our fruit that we are called upon to abide will abide. My sister was, she's here for the weekend. She was at our service last night, and it was a time where about a year and a half ago, she and I shared the duties of having to bring my parents. She brought them up to Branson, Missouri, and then flew home. And as she was at the airport waiting to go home, my flight came in to take over, and then I could drive them back. And then my sister flew home, and I finished the rest of the trip. But somehow during that week, it was about the second day that I was in Branson, and my parents had said to me, you know what, we're going to let you choose the place tonight that we're going to go for supper. And I'm like, okay. So I actually left for a little bit. They told me that about noon. did a little bit of checking around and figured out where I wanted to go. And I'll tell you what, to this day, I really liked that choice. It was a good place. And in fact, because my dad wasn't the only one there, my dad's brother was also there. And my dad's brother, it just so happened, even though we hadn't talked to them, we weren't coordinating supper plans, they went to this exact same place and had a wonderful supper. But somehow, when I told my parents what my choice was going to be, about an hour later, they said, "Now we think we're going to go someplace else." Well, the place that we went was one of the most dreadful restaurant experiences to this day I have ever had. Nothing was done right. No orders were right. Coffee was ice cold. And no, I didn't order iced coffee, thank you. And when it came time the next day for me to, and especially when I found out that my dad's brother was at the place that the rest of us went to, that didn't, I never say anything to my parents because, you know, honor your father and mother. But the next day I filled out a restaurant review about the place that we went to. And I entitled it, "Next Time I Choose." Well, guess what, my friends? Both this time and next time, the choice of you being in the kingdom of God has already been made. And guess what? This time and next time, He chose you. And He chose you because He knew what was going to happen. He knew that even in the midst of our sins, we were going to be His children. He knew that we were going to go and bear fruit and that our fruit should abide. He knew that with the power of the Holy Spirit, we would be there today and all the way to life everlasting. Friends, you did not choose Jesus. But since He's the one that chose you, let's abide in His love. Because His love has been set aside just for those people He has chosen. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. And on the subject of choosing, let's have our officers. What I'm going to do is just to make it as simple as we can here. And since all of us here, let's just come on up here as a small group of people. There's not a lot of us here. And we can turn and face the people, but we don't need to go all the way up here. Just anywhere right up in here will be just fine. Find our spot. We might end up making that musical chair, see who gets to sit down in it first, right? Okay. I'm also the guy that's got to stand the whole time, so all right. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you have been appointed by our congregation to serve as officers and leaders in our midst. Hear what Holy Scripture has to say about those who serve in the church. This is from Colossians chapter 3. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you have been called as one body, and always be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." And then also from St. Paul's letter to the Romans from the 12th chapter, where he says, "By the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. So having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If in prophecy in proportion to our faith, if in service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes doing so generously, the one who leads doing so with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy, doing so with cheerfulness." And so then I ask you, as we are gathered here before God and the members of the congregation, do you accept the offices that have been entrusted to you? Do you promise to remain committed to the Lord Jesus Christ and to grow in his word and to strive for excellence in all that you do? If so, answer, I will with the help of God. Members of faith, we have now heard these promises that have been given to us by our leaders. Do you promise to support them who have been appointed by the Lord God and by you as your leaders with your prayers and also with your time, with your sharing, and with all that God has given us to give them the honor that is due what they have done as leaders in our church? If so, answer, we will with God's help. So I extend to you the right hand of fellowship, welcoming you as the officers of Faith Lutheran Church for the coming year. And friends, I must say, somebody is missing here. Even though you've not been appointed, this is the director of our youth, a very important person that's sitting here. Because especially when you're going to be leading people to a national youth gathering way up in Minneapolis in just over a year, that's an important person sitting here. So I don't want to forget that we've also got, Beth sitting here. We also have got, and most of the people that are gathered here, they are continuing their service as leaders. This individual here might need your introduction. I don't know if you know him or not, and what he's doing to serve. But then, of course, here with Barb, believe it or not, she has other duties than putting together one of the best pictorial directories we've had in a long time. But she's going to be serving as our secretary. And, of course, Frida continues not only as in our altar guild, but she's going to be serving as our lay delegate to the district convention coming up here in a couple of months. And then, finally, we have a new officer this year, Kathy, who has agreed to serve as our new vice chairman for the coming year. And so love and support these people as best you can. Let's bow our heads. Oh God, through the grace of your Holy Spirit, you pour the gifts of love into the hearts of your faithful people. Grant to all of your servants the gifts that they need that they may serve in your midst and in the midst of the people here faithfully. Enable them to love you with their whole heart, with their whole strength, to perform those things that are pleasing to you. May your word bear much fruit in them for the growth of your church, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So go in the name of the Lord, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is never in vain. And may the Almighty and most merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless and preserve you this coming year. Amen. Thank you. You may return to your seats. And let's continue in our service by confessing our Christian faith to the words of the Apostles' Creed. Please stand. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We receive our offerings and also fill out those faith fellowship cards. You may be seated. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs in the Church of God. Heavenly Father, you promised to hear our prayers for the sake of your Son. Help us to heed that invitation you have given us and remind ourselves that we have not chosen you, but you have chosen us to go and bear fruit, and that our fruit will abide in all good things with boldness and confidence, Lord, in your mercy. Oh Lord, we live in a world plagued by sinful doubt and skepticism over your word and salvation, and even our own hindrances, temptations, are things that get in the way of the work that you would have us do. But by your Holy Spirit, open our hearts that whatever it is that is being proclaimed may bear fruit. Soothe our doubting consciences with the certain knowledge that your gospel promises are true. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Creator of heaven and earth, abide with all people that are going through difficult circumstances. Despite their temporary difficulties, give them faith to confess that you daily and richly provide everything that they need to support their bodies and lives. Stir up generosity also in our hearts as we respond to your mercy by sharing your good gifts with those who are in need. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of the nations, where there is instability, bring order. Where there is strife, bring peace. Where there is danger, bring safety. Especially protect those who live and serve in dangerous areas, including our cities and in places that are torn by war. Give wisdom to all those that you place in authority over us, especially as they also have to deal with the realities of today's violence and danger. Through residents and authorities, make our neighborhoods safe. Lead everyone to work together, promoting peace and tranquility. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Eternal God, you have shown to us a glimpse of the life of the world to come. So sustain those who are struggling in any form of body, soul, heart, and mind. We now lift up before you someone in our own lives that is in need of the special help and comfort that comes only from you, that we name before you in a moment of silence. Strengthen their faith and ours, that despite these current afflictions, all may look forward to the glory that we revealed to them on the last day. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Blessed are you, O Lord, your God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Having revealed your glory in the face of your only begotten Son, who suffered, died, and rose for our salvation, you have exalted him to the highest majesty at your right hand, that he might graciously fill all things. Grant us faithfully to eat and drink this holy supper, trusting our reigning Savior Jesus, who though unseen in his ascended glory, is here present to save us by his body and blood. Hear us for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the New Testament, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Lord, you sanctify and guide us in all truth, to know you as our Savior, Jesus Christ, along with the Father, whom you have made known as we are knit and joined together in the Spirit. The peace of the Lord be with you always. On the top of page 9 in our service folders is our closing prayer. Please stand as we pray that prayer together. Direct us, O Lord, in all our doings with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, obtain eternal salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us bless our Lord. Go out into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the suffering. Honor all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless you. Amen. For our final hymn, Christ the Eternal Lord, we just sing the first verse and the last two verses. Verse 1, verses 4 and 5, Christ the Eternal Lord. Friends, as you leave this morning, this is another one of those mornings where we're putting in our orders for those faith gift cards, what we call the script program. Yvonne Brecky is in the back, and she wanted me to remind everybody we are in need of volunteers to help with that program. So both support it because it does support our ministries, and consider helping if you can. Friends, go in peace and serve the Lord.